Welcome to Course in Miracles.
Okay.
For a spiritual journey, there's a motivation. There's something in you that is willing to move you, or you're willing to follow some strength in you that is hungry for an improvement. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking for a spiritual journey. You would just pursue the material world and get better at that. But if you've come this far, if you're in this room with this book, there's something in you that is hungry for a beyond the material, at least. Something, somehow. A little itch in you. Says there is a better way, and it isn't achieved by healthier, wealthier, and wiser. That would be the world. Somehow you know somewhere that there's more important, and you're going to get it. You're going to have it. You know that you already have it, and you just want to become aware and make it present in your life so you can be that person all the time. Why not? If it's true. We're going to look at one aspect of that tonight. We're going to put a word on it, as the Course does. We're going to call it freedom. Freedom. Is that your right? I mean, if there's love, big L love, if there's something like God, and you come from that, isn't it fair that you could be free? You could feel free. You could think free. Well, you know this book supports that. Even though the world would present barriers, very personal barriers, maybe even inside your body, could you still be free? Even though you may have wasted time or money or whatever on the wrong path or the wrong person or the wrong thoughts for a lot of years, can you be free now?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Goodness. Freedom. Freedom. So, let's just spend a few minutes thinking about that word. About that as a pursuit. About that as a goal. What is freedom? What does it mean to you? Freedom. And remember, when we do these meditations, this is a chance for you to get extra honest about you, to you. Just let this sink in and open up perhaps an aspect of what freedom means to you. So, all right, we expect to be different next week. But for tonight, just get real simple and honest. Let this word seep in and show you what you think about freedom. What is freedom? What does it even mean? You might start with what it's not. What is the opposite of freedom? Bondage. Not free. How does that feel? We switch the gears on you. The direction. How does that feel? Not free. Now, what does it mean to be free? What does it mean? How does it work? that you would be free. And if you would, finally, choose just a word or a phrase, just pick an aspect of freedom for you. What's something that really touched you about what it's like to be free? Just pick a word or a phrase. David, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Well, freedom for me has changed quite a bit.
Yes?
It seems like real freedom is freedom from my thoughts.
Freedom from your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we do learn about the ego in this book. We learn about these nasty habitual thoughts that are too small. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of anticipation, thoughts of the future, thoughts of the past. These are the ego.
Yeah, it's really strange because you look back and you see how these thoughts you have massively imprisoned you because you have all these beliefs and you got to abide by them.
Yeah.
And they control your whole life. You know, I mean, your body can be put in a cell. It sounds pretty horrifying. I've been in cells before.
Yeah.
Don't like those things, but this is worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To have all those thoughts, just stop thinking about them. It's useless.
Wow.
You're completely open-minded in a different sense.
That's a very versatile freedom.
Freedom to be free.
Yeah.
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 Excellent.
True freedom.
Pam, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
I mean, there's a joy there. You know, there's it's often how often I think about my dog when we're having these themes, right? And
yeah.
Like you get out of the car, you go a few steps, you let her off the leash, and she's free now, and it's just like, woo!
Man.
And now flow is just like, you know, and everything is just in that moment, and there's just such a lovely, playful, joyful, free.
It's good visual.
Yeah.
Joyful, manifest.
Yeah, just like, let me out, boom! And then, and you're not beholden, you're not obliged, you're not committed, there's a joy.
Yeah.
That I think, I mean, and if you look at the world, like how we so take it for granted. And
yes.
It reminds me again, like when you think of it in terms of the Course and our thoughts, you know, like the Dalai Lama says, we're far too lenient of mind wandering.
Yes. Page 29, Course in Miracles,
paragraph
6.
Over this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're far too lenient of that. So we're not embracing the freedom.
Yeah.
The choice. And like, so I think of freedom as such, we forget how free we are. We don't know. That's what this is
so
all about.
So delaying joy.
Yeah.
And then freedom is joy. There's your pair.
There it is. Bing. You know, like, I'm go. Like, it's just.
Great visual. Sharon, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I
think freedom is just. I think freedom for me would be freedom from fear, so no more fear, and no more shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Ha.
And I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Oh, man.
That's cool.
I mean, this is a pretty good goal. I mean, the world is made up by fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
you beat that, life's better.
I would hope.
Yeah, good, you got the right book. Joelle, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
You know, it's actually so funny that you said joy, because my the first word that came to mind is kind of similar. I just thought of the ability to be lighthearted. Lightheartedness, even just like in the etymology, you know, because the opposite of that, when you don't feel free, when you feel as though you're in bondage, whether or not those are internal or external circumstances, there's that physical pain there of having a heavy heart.
Heavy versus light-hearted. Mm-hmm. Freedom is light-hearted.
Yeah. And it's just, that would be such a lovely feeling to just be able to alleviate that, you know.
Yeah.
That feeling of, like, that sinking feeling.
Yeah, that sinking feeling is the opposite of freedom. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be like the dog, all out.
Yeah.
Off leash.
Off in the way.
You know, in the air, all four paws.
Yeah.
That moment.
Like someone left the gate open.
Mark, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Well, I think it's like a way of being that you empower yourself with. You like grant yourself. You say, you know, it's a way that you allow yourself that free to be free, mm-hmm. and in the moment you're creating yourself. And it's a creation. It's a creative act. Freedom, because freedom, you're freeing.
Yes. Yes.
And it's an experience. You know, it's an experience, and it's a way of being. You know, untether yourself.
Yeah.
Let go of all the constraints.
Yeah.
And you know, be who
permission
you are.
To create.
Yeah.
Permission to create. Think about creation. Especially here, is that creation is a in a way breaking the rules, because there are no rules if you're really creating. That you need some permission, really. I mean, a lot of people in their lives, I'm one. I can't create until I'm really, you know, make sure the bills are paid and I'm on time and I don't have to go to sleep and everything's, you know, then I can spend some time goofing around creating something in this world, because I'm going to break all the rules of being otherwise responsible. To create is kind of rule breaking in a way. To give your permission, that's freedom. To be able to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly do it completely wrong.
But it also, I think it also has to do with being present and not dwelling in the past. It's something that is...
The low heart. The dwelling in the past would be what Joelle talked about, is the heaviness of heart. Mm-hmm. It just does not feel free. And would not be creative in the way that you're talking.
Yeah.
Not freely creative. Not like the dog. Yeah. Or like David with this free of his thoughts. The thoughts he knows he doesn't want. Yeah. Kenny, what's an aspect of freedom?
Freedom is balance with a smile.
Mm.
Balance with a smile. Balance with a smile.
My thought was riding a bicycle down in Nicene Marks.
Okay.
Down the hill. And I don't want to fall. So I have joy as I ride. Carefully. I'm smiling about.
This is the middle way.
There.
Literally the middle way. With balance and with the smile.
Yeah.
Not pushing, not holding back.
A little bit of push.
Comfortably.
Yeah.
Comfortably enjoying. That's free. Too fast is not free. Right? I'm going to crash. I'm way too fast.
Right.
There's people coming the other way. The corner's coming up. That's not free. It's scary.
But you can choose to do that. That is a form of freedom.
Yes, if you do. Well, he's already doing it. He's already...
Your boundaries, your limits.
He's already... But he says with the smile. So that's interesting. He's got the with the smile on there. He's already balanced going downhill. I see marks... With a smile is key, because that would be freedom for him. That would be freedom. It's nice.
So he's choosing joy.
He's choosing the joy. He's affording the joy right there, just the right amount. Just the right amount. That's free.
Joy.
The hell of that would be. Nobody is determining whether he's going too fast or too slow. He is just right. That's free. That's good. Bridget, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
I guess awareness of thoughts that and beliefs that, if I can catch them, that restrict me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like
yes,
the open-mindedness.
Yes.
Seeing when I'm out of joy.
Right.
And what's stopping that? What stops that?
Honestly, isn't that what we do with the Course in Miracles? Course in Miracles is not something you do, by the way. Big picture of Course in Miracles is not something to do. This is something you undo. It's helping you undo the blocks in your mind to the awareness of freedom, of love's presence. According to Course in Miracles, all your love, all the freedom you can possibly handle is already present and given you. But because of the power you have with your mind, you actively block it by thinking about the past too much, worrying about the future too much, not being free, not being vigilant about these habits of the ego that would corner you back into your own personal private prison cell. So really, freedom is successfully watching those limiting thoughts and letting them go. That's really how we do it. It's nice. Carol, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Choosing my thoughts and creating the day I want. Just making the decision to keep my thoughts going that way and being aware when they go off. And so it's choosing joy. And I gotta say, I've always been so happy once I learned that my name, Carol, means Song of Joy.
Oh, is that right?
And so it's a trick I do with myself. If I notice something, that someone acting, and I just think about joy and getting back into the way I want to live and the way I want to be.
Yeah.
The way I want to create my life.
Exercising your power.
Yeah.
That's freedom.
Yeah.
Actually choosing, exercising your power that you know you have. Mm-hmm. Now you know you have it. Enough years of Course in Miracles, it'll show you how free your mind is.
Yeah.
And now you know, if you're not feeling free, it's not because of the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Unless it is.
Well, then you are back to the lesson for the day.
All right.
And you'll find your freedom again.
Which one?
Whatever one you're on.
Number one.
If number one would be good.
Sure.
Christopher, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Freedom from not having to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Nice.
That's good.
Nice.
Just being okay.
Just being. And that's okay. Yeah.
Because the striving to want to know is...
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a race that just kind of goes on to the horizon. Like, you're never going to...
Right.
You're never going to find truth. Like, none of us alone are capable of maybe finding that through reason.
With analysis, through reason, through a small perspective of a human being that gets hungry every 3 to 6 hours, tired every 12, insulted every time their name and a four-letter word are too close together, that's hard to know truth from that perspective.
So knowing humility is part of that, because you have to take yourself away from the goal or the desire to have a true picture of the world and to be able to prove that.
Yes. Right. You, people have been in this meeting enough times around me. What's the perhaps the only true statement that can pass your lips? It's three words.
I don't know.
Or don't know. Three. Thanks. Your math's
three,
really
four.
Good. Three or four. Yes.
Ding dong.
That's it. I do not know. This is the embarkation on freedom. This is the way to enter into the power of holiness. This is what an awakening feels like. It's the last thing your ego would want to hear or say. But perhaps the only truth that can cross your human lips. I, that seeker, I don't know.
Okay.
That feels good. If you could say that with a smile, oh, that's freedom. Because yeah. Now there's room, right, know. To know. Huh? What's that?
I don't know.
Oh, no! I haven't tried it. Got to try it sometime.
I might concur.
You know that a teacup full of is full? There's no more adventure there. There's nothing more to experience. An empty teacup. This is open. So with your mind. So what I don't know is open. If you already know and you aren't supremely happy according to this book, you are blocking yourself. If you don't know, then you can hear. And the better way, the other way, which this book promises, is just waiting for you. Presently. In the present moment. In your own mind, for your next thought, if you so choose. But the door says, I don't know on it. That's good. Cecily, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Well, what came up for me is that my kind of old thought patterns would be that I would cycle back and at any given moment to kind of a running tally of my life, and like thinking about like, have I done this, have I done that, have I talked to my mom, how are my kids, have I talked to my dad, blah blah blah, like just kind of go through my to-do list in a constant cycle whenever I wasn't like actively engaged in something, like that was what I would do. And and lately I've been not doing that, and what's interesting about it is I feel like that's definitely a freedom, but it's also a little like disconcerting. I feel like I'm like forgetful or like not keeping track. Like it would be called like dementia in our society to not constantly be just be tracking everything, right? Yeah. To just let it go. And so it's kind of like, whoa, you know? And I'm just not like paying attention as much to stuff and tracking it all. And there's some freedom there, but it's also disconcerting.
So freedom is completely irresponsible or not responsible for a moment. Truly free
variation of responsibility.
If you don't have the fear of being responsible, that you need to be, if you can let that fear go for a few moments, that's a variation of being responsible.
Yeah, I like that.
Because you're still responsible, but you're letting it go. The fear of being responsible for a few moments.
Well, and I'm being responsible to like a higher purpose of mind training.
I'm going to repeat to you what you just said. You're being responsible to a higher purpose of mind training. So you might be choosing trust. Higher trust. Embracing a trust that says, I can do this. In fact, I should do this.
I want to.
Well, no,
I want to do this. I can do this. I am loved enough to do this by something beyond me. I have permission to do this. Yeah, that's pretty free. With a good contrast. Yeah. A good thing to do, a good thing to exercise. A good thing to achieve, if even only for 60 seconds. just to know you can. And you can carry that light with you, even as you go through your busy doing. Yeah, that will be freedom. Good. It's practical, very practical. Zoe, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Well, I've been contemplating that.
Yeah?
And it's a challenge for me to come up with just one word. Mm-hmm. You know, and then a few minutes ago, I thought of something brilliant that would describe it. God.
Okay.
But I think my favorite so far, like that's come up as people are sharing, is I like the word beyond what it, you know, but I would like to describe beyond. You know, my humanness. Mm-hmm. And untethered, I also think, is a great description. But the one that really speaks to me is this idea of a higher consciousness than my little mind, my ego mind. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. Actually, that would be a good thing for freedom, as egoless.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is. Mm-hmm. For you to go beyond the limits of your ego. Ego being that which reminds you of your humanness and all the limits, and like these thoughts David talked about, that can plague you if you don't go unchecked. If you're not vigilant toward, you're not vigilant toward the things that bring you down, you'll go down. They're like habits waiting for you. So certainly, to know them, find them, catch them. By the way, Course in Miracles workbook lessons, great way to comb through your life and your mind and catch all your stinking thinking. One day at a time, rack it up. Know what it is you're up against. You bet. What a great, thorough way to do that. And then you know how to go beyond and what to go beyond. Yeah, that'll be freedom, all right. I think you got some friends here. We agree with you. John, what's an aspect of freedom for you?
Well, within the context of our meeting, which I'm getting some really great ideas, this is great stuff. And I'm glad I'm last, so you pick up on me. But I got, you know, a creative extension of mind where you can, it just says you can use your mind as freely as you want to, and that implies creativity to do so. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of go with that one. That, mm-hmm. It seems like a dictionary definition almost, but I like to think analysis sometimes works.
Yeah. When you say extension of mind, it's sort of like the dog extending its yard with the gate open. Whole world, here I come. Woohoo!
Creative extension of mind.
Creative, even. For you. Extension. Nice.
Well, it's all creative, isn't it?
Yeah. Every thought. Every thought. Yeah. Every thought.
Yeah.
Claire, so what's an aspect of freedom for you?
I'm super digging the idea of live like someone left the gate open. I really dig that. And then I dig the idea that the inside of the gate says, I don't know. What came to me while we were meditating was, while I'm in this body, freedom for me would be to just be life emerging uninhibited by the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While I'm in the body.
Yeah. Yeah. Without the blocks of the illusion. So without the fake blocks, without getting in my own way. I had a big awakening on that once many years ago. I thought, God, I get in my own way with these thoughts. I'm getting in my own way. Worrying or holding back or whatever it was. there ain't nobody going to come save me from me. I'm going to have to actually get out of my own way. And I will be right there in my way if I don't.
Your misery will be instantly refunded.
That's right! Try it! Yeah, that's good. Beautiful. Okay, turn to page 432.
I'm there.
Are you already there? Bravo, Zoe! Man, she's fast. Man, is she fast. This is a section in chapter 20 called Entering the Ark. Entering the Ark. Entering the way out. Beginning your journey toward your freedom. Yeah, and for the new people, the book, the page numbers restart multiple times because it was several books that were bound together. The text, almost 700 pages. Then the workbook, almost 500 pages. Then the manual for teachers, about 100 pages. And if you have the newest version, another 100 pages of supplements. So we'll try to announce the section title when we jump to the area. So now we're in the front of the book on page 432.
What category did the lesson fall into?
The workbook?
Okay.
Section 2?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read sentence 1 of this section before we jump to our paragraph. David, would you read for us the very first sentence, the very first paragraph, and stop after the first sentence?
Okay. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
Is that personal, Sharon?
Over and over again, yes. Thank you.
Sometimes people ask you, oh, you're studying this Course in Miracles thing, huh? Is it good? Well, why don't you tell me something that's true? Prove to me your book is worth reading. And just give me a truth. It's 1,300 pages. I should be able to think of something. Right? Here's something. Here's the whole teaching. Here's the whole teaching of the book in one sentence. Really? Yeah. Isn't this kind of...
That's true.
Even the ego has to admit this. It's the first couple of lessons in the workbook in one sentence. It's showing where the responsibility of thought is.
Well, it's like what you just said about getting in your own way. Like,
yes.
That's giving something the power to hurt you. Like, it's all just an inside job.
It's an inside job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this book is written with a lot of authority. I really appreciate that. Because I needed the authority this book is written with to get the permission that I needed to follow it. It needed to be right. Need to be well written. And it needed some authority. And it turns out it knew me better than I knew me. And by the time I got to page 432, I was like, all right, I'm in. And a sentence like this is just... This is our discussion. This is our discussion. This is what we're doing for you. You'll own this. Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power. You can do that. Isn't that kind of a good news and the bad news? But you have the power to even have a bad experience. And it says in another 50 pages, it says, we need to wake you up a little bit to understand, to you can become a happy learner, to understand that a lot of the things you think are happiness are indeed misery. That's coming. Yes?
Wouldn't the opposite be true then? Nothing, you know, the world is yours if you give it the power to be that way?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's right. Seek no further than your own mind. Mm. Yep. Yep. It says another short sentence in this book. It says, You can give it up as easily as you made it up.
This sentence reminds me. I saw this documentary once about this teenage girl who had pretty severe autism, and she was involved in this like drama program for kids with special needs, and her parents were divorced, and they showed footage of the mom like watching her do the drama performance because she could like mimic, so she had a perfect pitch and a beautiful voice, and the mom was just like, oh my god, you know, like so invested and like she's doing something that's worthwhile and just like stressed the whole time. Even when the daughter was doing something beautiful, she was just like a disaster. And then they showed footage of the dad, and he was with the daughter, and they were walking on the beach, and she was just like running out in and out of the waves, and he's like, this is what makes her happy, she's in her own world, and she loves running up and down on the beach. And he was totally uninvested, and he was so chill, and I was like watching it, and I was like, whoa, like same kid, same problems, in two totally different ways to engage with it.
Yes.
And it kind of like blew my mind.
That's great.
To me that sentence.
That's really great. Same situation.
Yeah.
Two perceptions.
Yeah.
One free, one not free. Yes. We can appreciate the mother too, right? The mother, she has to worry. For her mindset, worrying makes her feel responsible. It sucks as a way to live. But until she can have a bigger perspective with some trust that you were talking about, she must worry. And we get it. I'd rather be going with the father's perspective.
Yeah.
Look, I know where the hospital is. If something goes wrong, we'll get her there. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Yeah. All right. Let's dig in now on paragraph 4 from the bottom of the page. And Pam, would you read that for us? Paragraph 4?
Sure. Those who choose freedom will experience only its results. Their power is of God, and they will give it only to what God has given to share with them. Nothing but this can touch them, for they see only this, sharing their power accordingly to the will of God, and thus their freedom is established and maintained. It is upheld through all temptation to imprison and to be imprisoned. It is of them who learned of freedom, but you should ask what freedom is. Ask not the sparrow how the eagle soars, for those with little wings have not accepted for themselves the power to share with you.
What does that mean?
What's that?
What does that mean?
Well, let's talk about it then. I'm glad you asked.
It's a wonderful metaphor.
Sparrow?
Yeah, the sparrow and the eagle.
Yeah.
Those with little wings. But they not accepted for themselves the power to share what the eagle knows.
Yeah. Another place it uses mouse. Yeah. Okay, let's run through that. All right, those who choose freedom will experience only freedom's results. Okay. In this book, when the word choose comes up, it's got a little extra meaning behind it. Because the author knows the power of your mind. The author knows what you really are. Mm-hmm. So when you choose, if you actually chose, you're enacting the power of the source. Things happen. If you actually choose. Let me make a distinction for you. Another two words in A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles uses these two words. Will and wish. Will is using your power of the source, your true power of mind, as you are an extension of God. You are. That's what you are. An extension of God with the power to create. And I can prove it because here you are. You did that. Wish is in the realm of time, space, victimhood, and maybe. The ego. A wish may or may not happen. You can think it, fantasize, dream, but there's just no determining when it might happen. That's a wish. That's a quality of ego. It is not a choice.
And what's the will one again?
Will is a creation. Will is a commitment. Will is exercising your power, and whatever it is you actually will to do, it is done at that point. For example, mundane example, I will wash my car. I've decided. That's it. I'm going to wash my car. I don't know exactly when. I got to get near a hose. You know, I got to get outside. But it's done. It's committed. I'm going to squeeze it in. It's going to happen. Versus, man, I hope I get my car washed before maybe next week would be good, or at least by next month. I hope I get my car washed. That would be good. It's what is that thought even worth?
Sounds kind of rainy.
It's what? Yeah.
Like, I wish it would wash itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish it would rain. Wash it, and I wouldn't have to, but that might make it worse. I wish somebody washed it for me. Oh my God. Pity part. This is so not will. When you will, it is done in that moment because you have already set the experience in your head. The goal, the experience, the outcome, it's done.
Yeah, even if it hasn't happened yet.
Even if it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's done.
So what happens if it doesn't happen? I mean, you willed it, but it hasn't happened yet.
Does in the moment you will it, you're starting to experience a clean car. Versus, okay, the moment you wish it, you don't get anything. You just get more fantasy. You actually don't know if the car is going to be clean by your deadline. There's no commitment.
You're talking about a way of being.
Yes.
A way of being about a particular situation.
Yes.
Being a victim is a way of being in relationship to something that you want to have happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But will is a way of being in relationship to something that you also want to have happen.
Proactive.
Will.
It's responsibility.
It's calling on power. Yeah. It's receiving, accepting the responsibility and the power to do it. Mm-hmm. And then you can just relax, right? Because it's done. You know when you really decide something, it's done. You kind of know that, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
So you set your alarm and you think, boy, that's a little early. I hope I wake up. You know you're going to sleep through it.
Yeah. I will wake up.
Yeah.
I'll try
is not free. It's not free, is it?
Yeah.
I'll try is not free.
Mm-hmm. It's like people say, when people say to you, like you say, will you do this, you know, by next Friday? And they say, I'll try. It's like, you know, they're not going to do it.
And nobody's free. That's right. They got an out.
Right.
I set two alarms. I set it on my phone, and I go away from the bed on the iPad. And they're both going to go off. God, you know, that's willing to get up.
I can do it if I don't even have an alarm.
Oh.
I can say I'm getting up at 6:30.
Yeah.
And then I'll get up at 6:30 with no alarm.
Isn't that funny?
That's so resolute.
Isn't that interesting how that's true? I've been there too. Yeah. Somehow it's a boom. Before the alarm even, it's like, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question, probably about duality.
Mm-hmm.
I've always learned about self-will or God's will.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the Course have to say about that?
The Course has a small S-self and a large S-self. And we learn to make the distinction and be vigilant about it as we go along. So we learn that in truth, your self-will in truth, with a capital S, equals God's will. Equals God's will. Equals your source. Equals the truth. Equals love. Your capital S self. Your ego self. This is a chaotic, fear-driven, guilt-wary, focused on the past and the future, that self-will is the ego. And will only bring you chaos.
That says a lot.
With big promises of success, but chaos all along the way.
Eventually. It may work for a while, but then...
Yes.
It'll,
yes. Short-sighted.
Itself up.
Short-sighted, short-term thinking. Yep. Yep. Whereas the Course introduces this idea that your will and your Father's will are one. Mm-hmm. In truth. Ah, this is a huge awakening coming for you if you haven't been comfortable with that idea yet. Just imagine for a minute that what you really, really, truly want, at the bottom of it all, if you did the complete awakening on what you really, really want in your bones, right down to your the bottom of your heart, what you really, really want, what if that was the same thing that God wants for you? Whatever you think God is. What if it was the same? And that anything less than that was not what you really, really wanted. And of course, the source that has all the power and perfect happiness and perfect joy wouldn't want it for you either, unless it was all the way to what you really, really wanted. What if that was true? What if you met, you and your source met at what you really, really wanted?
How do you know what you really, really want? I mean, I've asked this question to myself, like driving in the car. It's like, yes. What do I really want? And it's just like,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Okay, the group can help you. Group, give me a couple of words of what you really, really want.
Peace of God.
The peace, not just any peace.
God's peace.
The peace of God. Anything else do you really, really want?
Love would be okay.
and I just want to ask you, like, love how much of the time? 10%? 20? What we really want.
Well, we don't even know what love is.
Wait, that insurance kicking in. You're fired, she says. I want all of it. That's honest, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean,
does anybody here not want all the love there is to have? However much you catch your core to have.
However much is really available. If you're going to go all in.
Exactly. Do you want less than is available?
No,
you want it all. Whatever's available, I want it all. Because it's love.
Do all.
Because it's love. Yes, that's right. No, that's right. That's a vector. We talked about that on Sunday.
But I think she's got a good point, because if sometimes you can get too specific on what you want. And then it's like you're trying to control things.
Yes.
Yep.
And the more you feel like you're trying to control things.
This sounds like a little bit of chaos and analytical strain analysis paralysis. You need to call Christopher and say, Christopher, what is the aspect of freedom? He says, I don't know. Wait, I do not know. That is the aspect of freedom he wants. Yes?
It reminds me to get me out of the planning. I can only think with my small self.
Yes, good.
I can only plan with good. What I've been through and all my conditioning and all my baloney.
But Sharon's question still stands, is what do you really want?
Freedom to say what you want, not get me out of it.
What she just said is a huge vector in many, many spiritual disciplines, and they all have, in this course too.
I keep forgetting that.
Has this wonderful little surrender that Pam just shared with us. And it is classically said, there's a correction for that, it's classically said, not my will, but thy will. It's truthfully said with a celebration. I will that thy will be done. Because you know me better than I know me.
How do I get out of my way? Because I'll do it myself. I got it, I'll do it myself.
Oh, I get it. That's what David's talking about. This man has struggled with those thoughts for years. He's smart, he's in control, he's responsible, pretty clever, but man, he puts brick brick walls up for himself every day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Worried about the past, overthinking it, trying to be too helpful, not helpful enough. I mean, these thoughts are of the ego. How do you get past those little self-imposed barriers? You have to do what was talked about over here on freedom, which was admit that you can do it and then start being vigilant over those negative thoughts. But the negative thoughts come so quickly, she says, before you have a chance to think about them.
Workbook lessons.
Thank you. This book, this book, in the middle, has 365 easy to follow steps.
Not so easy.
Nauseous.
Every 5 seconds, look at your watch.
Task mastering gets down to the minute sometimes. Yeah, that's true.
They're effective, though.
They're effective.
Where do I get a book?
$25, buddy. Take home the one you have.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't beat that price. Yeah,
the bookstore downtown. I mean, that's where I got mine.
Amazon got them.
Yeah.
So you have some.
I'll sell you that one. Better than you can pay for it. It's cheaper than you can get any place else.
Okay.
You can have it tonight. They work. Has anybody here? How many people have done the workbook?
Most of it.
A little bit.
I'm thinking you two guys.
Just being honest.
Do it every day.
Cecily.
I mean, did it. We're doing it.
No. All right, you're busy doing it.
Doing something. Yes.
All right. Who here wants to? Who want to witness some aspect of how the workbook or that the workbook works?
Yes, please.
Cecily. John?
Why not?
You got three times. I mean, I don't want to call you out, but I think I'm going to call you out.
All right, three times.
Why?
Why not?
That's not what you told me.
I can't remember what I told you. Andrew, what did I tell you?
It's fine. Cecily, tell me something, some aspect of the workbook.
All right, so the workbook was huge for me because I relate so much to what you're saying, Sharon. I have total, like, obsessive thinking all the time about different things, usually fear-related, and that is just constant. And what the workbook helped me do is that every time I got to the point where every time I would start having one of those like obsessive fear thoughts, I never knew what else to think about, right? Like meditation was hard, I couldn't quiet my mind. I praying like was just kind of vague. And so then I would go and I would just repeat the workbook lesson to myself. And I spent, you know, play it on my car when I'm driving, listen to it on YouTube when I'm cleaning my house. Like,
oh, it's on YouTube?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's
mm-hmm.
great, you and, can have a great yeah. deep voice reading this to you.
Ooh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I've got audiobooks for you for $40.
No, I got that. I keep trying to go to spiritual area, it just doesn't do
they,
it.
They have apps as well.
Lots of
those. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there's apps for your phone.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. Anyway, just over time, It you know, gave me a better way, better thing to think about that caused me more peace and less anxiety. But it's funny because then you fall off. Like, I'm almost at the end of the lessons and I have been having obsessive thinking lately. And I'm like, I even said this to you over the weekend. I was thinking to myself, okay, I know these thoughts aren't working for me, but what do I think about? Like, what's a worthwhile thought to, like, have? And I asked Andrew at the workshop, and he's like, how about the lessons? I was like, oh, yeah. Like, yes. I had remembered that, and I had done it for, like, 6 to 8 months, and then I just, like, stopped somewhere along the line and completely forgot.
And yeah, I'm the same way. That's amazing to
and
me.
And so now I've started, you know, got my earbuds. And
so the workbook comes right to, it's waiting for you. They're personalized, one for each day. As soon as you get bored with one, go to the next one, right? Let's just take lesson number 2 as an example. There's 365 of these puppies. Lesson number 2. The ego can't argue with it. The spirit is giving it to you. It says, lesson number 2 is, I have given everything I see all the meaning it has for me.
It's
So what does that mean
you
exactly?
Keep saying that. I have no idea.
It means I'm having a garage sale this weekend.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
I look at stuff and, you know, you just look without judgment and the meaning of it, and it's just like,
if you could put a sticker and a dollar value on all your thoughts, wow, that's hilarious. That's really funny.
The garage sale paradigm. Oh my God.
But it's about value. It's about your conditioning and being aware of what you've developed, right? I mean, it's like, okay, so if this coffee cup has all the meaning, I know it's a cup, I know coffee goes in that cup, I know it's white, it has a handle, it's like, but if you were to take that to another place, somebody else that's never had that, it's a whole different meaning. So if it's something benign like a coffee cup, then it's whatever you
Well, how about the knife? We came in this room once and there was a gun off on the bookshelf somewhere. Somebody, oh my God, there's a gun in the room.
Seriously?
A real gun. It was a revolver. It, you know, so we're in a Course in Miracles meeting, we put it in the middle of the floor, right? I was like, whoa, whoa. And some people were like, in that corner, you know, with a pillow. And other people, Mario was here, and he says, I don't know, I think that's a classic. He was like, I want to touch it. I was like, can I sell it on eBay? I wonder how much it's worth. We went around the room to illustrate this. It's a gun. Some people said, Andrew, I think you should remove that. There's nothing good about guns. They're designed to kill people, and I don't know why you're letting it stay here any longer. What if it's loaded? Right? Other people said, it's just a piece of metal.
You can spin it around and around, whoever it stops on.
It's
be under the gun.
It's just a piece of metal.
With right? the potential. Thing is with the potential. That's where my mind always goes.
Then that would be freedom for you to. You would give it the meaning that your potential assigned to it.
Yeah.
Nobody can do that for you, Sharon. Clarissa can't give you the meaning of the gun. Whether it's a tool, a paperweight, a toy. Maybe Bridget's a gun expert. She says, you guys don't even recognize a toy when you see it.
Was it fake?
No, it was real. I checked it out. It was real. I was like, holy cannoli. But it was not loaded. But we had different opinions all around, and they were all valid. They were all valid. Yes, guns kill people. Yes, they don't kill people unless you point it at somebody. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a tool. Yes, they're legal. Yes, it's a piece of metal. Yes, you could sell them on eBay. You know, all this was true. And each person gave the meaning to themselves.
Okay.
That's lesson number two. It's true for guns. It's true for your dog. It's true for your tax bill. It's true for your age, your weight, your bank account. What somebody just said
to you. So you're packing your own baggage.
You are packing your own baggage. Whatever somebody says to you, you give it the meaning.
In other words, each person has their own personal dream, unique to themselves.
This is correct. You are the dreamer of your dream, chapter 27. Thank you very much.
So what did you do with
the aspect of this book, yes?
What did you do with the gun?
Well, we had a good meeting. Talking about it. You know, we used it as much as we could. And then I took it and I put it safely on the shelf and I gave it to Ray.
Well, I'm curious about where it came from.
You know, I don't know. I thought maybe a therapist was using it to help someone.
A therapist?
You know, pay up or else. You know what I mean?
See, and my meaning was, you know, you're going to get it or else.
I like what you said about the workbook, that it just undoes the conditioning, that it's just this really simple step by step, baby steps, deep steps, babies that undo this complex conditioning that we live in this world where everything we believe is what we've been told to believe, you know, and then it's just like, wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait just a minute.
Yes.
And for me, once I made the decision that what I want is peace. than it was an anchor every day. Reminding me of that, because it's really easy to choose something other than peace in this world. Really easy.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what the world is for.
That's what the world is for!
And you're bringing up probably my favorite nugget. I don't know if that's true. There's a lot of good ones. But our responsibility of staying in the thought, in the freedom is that, I want to share this with my friend, is that it's not about how and how hard. And it's like your baby steps. My favorite thing is it only takes a little willingness. We don't need to know how to let it all go and how to stay in peace every minute forever. It's not a light switch. It's not that easy. We're constantly being shown otherwise. So your responsibility is only to remember right now. That's it. It's like this little baby bird cheek of responsibility of like, okay. And the lesson that I always go to that's got a deeper rut than the rest is I can see peace instead of this.
Yeah.
So when I'm really going nuts, I'll at least say that.
Yeah.
I can see peace instead of this.
So that
and
lesson...
it might not last. But yeah. At least to remember that I can say that to myself and I don't have to know how to get to peace. I can just say I'm willing to be there.
Do you know what's happened for Pam? Is she did the workbook. She got to lesson 34, apparently. This is good. You do that all day. That one idea, you're instructed carefully to do that, only that. One, there's one rule in the whole book. Do one lesson per day. Not 2, 3, 4, 5, because they're short. But
okay, so what happens if you do a lesson and you don't... Okay, so I'm so inattentive. What happens if you do a lesson and you don't feel you've got it? So you don't move on to the second lesson until you've got the first lesson?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a violence on yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's clearly, but so yeah, you just like
punishing yourself.
Yeah,
you have no idea, dear.
So it's very good. It's very good. It's important for stubborn people.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Yeah.
We
give the lesson your attention for one day as much as you can afford, and then do the next lesson.
And don't trip about the first one again.
It's written for you. That's correct. Okay. So that you'll come thank me if you do this. That lesson that you think you missed, you could swear you wasted a whole freaking day on it because it didn't move you. The next lesson will inform you personally on the heart of the previous lesson. And then you want to go, you will be using the previous lesson on today's lesson. I'm not saying go backward. I'm saying march through the lessons one day at a time.
Don't trip. Just
don't trip.
Okay, just...
admit you don't know. And then when you're done going through for a whole year, you will have gained a foundation that can really help you go through it a second time. It will mean so much more.
Okay.
So... many times the lessons will inform you about previous lessons. But that's because...
thank you.
That's because this is how the book is structured. Throwing out a number. 7 levels of consciousness. And the reason why this particular book study group is studying the same book in this room for 16 years.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. It's because there's so many levels of teaching in every paragraph.
Okay.
So don't try to get it all at once. Let the lesson just enter your mind.
Okay.
And as the introduction to the workbook says, you don't have to believe these things. You don't have to know they're true. Just try it. Just hear it.
So were you and Dave a complete mess before you got all Zen-like? I mean...
oh, that's the reason why I picked that book. Absolutely. Because of chaos in the world.
Okay.
And I tried other spiritual paths and Advaita and Buddhism and Catholicism and Christianity. It was very frustrating that I wasn't getting satisfactory answers.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. You know, books, entire books written. And yet I finished the book and go, but you didn't even go to the heart of it. Big name, Deepak, this and... even the Dalai Lama's book in Ramana Maharshi's was an aspect of duality, but it did not deliver the goods I was looking for until I got to this book. 26 years later, I haven't set it down. I'm looking to finish it so I go find the next one. But you know what? This one's really going deep. It keeps going deeper.
Yeah, deep. I've never read a book in my life that goes as deep as this thing. I've read other stuff, get stuff, and at some point you go, well, now what am I going to do? What's next? It seems like there's that's it?
Yeah.
That one, I've not come up with. I'm like, if I can get to that point, maybe 100 years from now.
Yeah, right.
It's like an onion. Every time I read it again, I get a different. Yes. Oh!
Well, there's other, this is Wapnick. Same thing with him. He's just doing the book, and you got other people that write books about it, which you can get the same thing from. But yeah, this is like.
The key point here is that the book doesn't change, you change.
Yeah.
Go through it. Muscle your way through it. Muscle your way through it. You will have taken steps that you don't even realize you took. When you do what Pam did, lesson 34, all day, just because it said, not because you thought this was really going to work. In fact, it's 1 o'clock and I'm still pissed.
I'm screwed, so I might as well do this.
I'm screwed. So I'm just going to take that workbook lesson and do it again as an anchor. I mean, just give me something to try, because I got fired yesterday, or somebody called me a beep, and they really meant it, and they told me they loved me just a month ago.
You know, Andrew, I have like 5 bookcases that used to have that were just stuffed with books, like boxes of books everywhere. Yeah. Now I have 2,
seriously.
I'm looking at these books and realize that. I could probably get rid of all of them. They're kind of cool, some of them, but have it no more. I mean, first, I used to just that there's no more use for them. It's just like, I've been giving everybody books away.
Yeah.
You know, taking truckloads away.
I know, it's amazing. What happens to me.
It's a freedom.
It's freedom.
Because I used to be so attached to this stuff. I all stuff I've been attached to.
Seeking.
Get rid of you. Sometimes you get mad and get rid of your stuff, then you got to get it back. Now it's like, I don't care.
It's
here or it's not here. It just doesn't care anymore.
This is wonderful, David.
Yeah, I just don't
care. This is a wonderful thing to celebrate. Thank you.
It's a cool feeling.
Come a long way, baby. Come a long way.
That's
a
lot of pages. You can
I'd rather not read all those books, but I read a lot of them. When you do lesson 34, any of the lessons, you keep going through it. Every 30 minutes, you're supposed to say, I can see peace instead of this, whatever's in front of you. You're supposed to just allow that thought to enter your mind. I have to use a timer, by the way. I love Course in Miracles, okay? And I really want to awaken with Course in Miracles. But my ego is so stubborn. I'll go all the way to 3 o'clock. I'm doing the lessons. All right. So I set my phone, or I had a little timer. Beep, 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 every 30 minutes. Mm. Oh, yeah, what's the lesson of the day? I have to write it on my hand.
Mm-hmm. I do that, too.
You know, what else can you do? Yeah. But I want it that badly. And I wake up right in that moment and say, oh, yeah. Because I feel the angst going on that right at that minute. I'm working on a program or something, trying to fix something. And I feel a little contraction, tension. And the timer goes off, and I go, wait a minute. I could choose peace right now instead of fretting, trying to have this done. I take a breath, and it feels like this. All right, what am I really doing? It's so much, it's a good day.
But you can't even remember the damn lesson. At 8 o'clock in the morning, you read it, you say, I'm going to do this, and you're so right. At noon, you're like, Jesus, what the hell is the lesson again?
I have to open the book, and like Stephen tore the pages out of the book and carried them around.
Yeah.
You look at his book, he's got a whole section just ripped out. Stephen literally tore the pages out of the book, and he carried the page around.
Yeah,
he wanted to carry the book.
With these funny. Cards.
I need an extra
book. Tell me about the cards, you can sell that too.
On the website, I got a little box of 3x5 cards with the entire lesson.
That's a great idea.
It's on the card. The whole lesson is what you put in your pocket, your purse. And very handy. It's okay.
You run the car?
I want those.
It just takes away the excuse.
Do you buy them
on my website. You can buy them all packaged up. There you go.
Like they have
those lessons. You can even push a button and read it to you.
Yes.
That's right.
So it fits in my ear.
I used to listen when I was a rep in the car.
Yep.
catch the guy's deep voice on that whatever app that was.
Nice. And then there's apps that have the entire workbook and the timing, and, you know, FIP's a good one. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
You're welcome.
I need the one you put the earplug in the ear, you know, and put it in, and it automatically comes on and talks to you. That's
the way they do it. Right. Absolutely. Whatever way you can. Just get yourself exposed to the wisdom that's in the workbook. This is, in my opinion, the workbook is the Holy Spirit's language. You learn the vocabulary and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Anybody, what's the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit in A Course in Miracles? The voice.
It's God's the voice part in my mind.
In your mind.
It's God. What?
It's the voice for God. It's the part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. It's not outside you at all, it turns out. When you access the Holy Spirit, it's the part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. That's how close it is to you, how available it is to you, and how powerful it is. It's your own mind. We just talk a lot about freedom. We went around the whole room. And everybody kind of admitted that, you know what, it's when I choose to be free I am. That's your Holy Spirit saying, call me. Ask me if you don't know.
It's like intuition, kind of, right?
Kind of like that. Informed by peace instead of fear.
Sponsored by God.
Sponsored by God.
Kind of can see the big picture.
Yes, it steps back and sees the big picture. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, paragraph 4, page 432. Those who choose, now you got the word choose down, right? Will versus wish. You're not wishing, you're going for it. Freedom. Well, they'll experience only freedom's results. Because their power is of God. And they will give this choice only to what God has given to share with them. What's God in this book? God is just what is. God's not a personality.
Is it true?
God is the truth. That's all.
No personality.
No personality. No. You know, you are God's personality.
Ah. Yes. That's it.
God.
We're all God's.
God is just the truth.
Yeah. Personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This book gets pretty radical on what God is.
I don't know if I could define that. What is God?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's a really good place to start. You want to see where it says that real quick? I know it's kind of mind bending for the new people. So, Kenny, would you lock the door? Okay. Page 315. Guys, don't run out of the room.
In the first part.
In the first part. The whole book isn't this way, but this is to show you some of the levels of teaching that are in this book. Page 315. Paragraph 4, and Sharon's going to read it for us. Who's up? Is Sharon, you up next?
Yes.
Yeah, would you read for us through paragraph 4?
Sure. You do not find it difficult to believe that when another calls on God for love, your call remains as strong. Nor do you think that when God answers him, your hope of answer is diminished. On the contrary, you are more inclined to regard the success as willingness to the possibility of yours.
On the contrary, you're more inclined to regard his success if it worked for him, right? If he prayed and it worked?
True.
That's a witness to the possibility that you could succeed also. Okay, please continue.
Okay. That is because you recognize, however dimly, that God is an idea, and so your faith in him is strengthened by sharing. What you find difficult to accept is the fact that, like your father, you are an idea. And like him, you can give yourself completely, wholly, without loss and only with gain. Therein lies peace, for here there is no conflict.
Okay, this is couched in the discussion of what the Course calls the law of love, the law of mind, the law of spirit. And it's as you give, you receive. That's when you receive, when you give. It's one of another truth that you could say. It also says that, you ever notice that if you give away an idea and somebody gets it, they say, Chris, I get it. You mean, and they give it back to you in their own words. You have given something to me, but it is not smaller for having done so. I've given it back to you. It's larger for you. Because I got it. You gave it, I got it, I gave it back. Wow, it became bigger. Like that great interview you had. It's being understood. Something is being surfaced and shown. The two cooperating make it more. 1 + 1 = 3. Giving and receiving. You give an idea away, it gets stronger. That discussion is here to bring you into the realm of creation, of God extending you. You are an idea in the mind of God. When that idea was given, it was made larger. Turns out, your whole life is in your mind, not really in your body. You get everything you see, all the meaning it has for you, thought by thought. So, have you ever seen God? Picture God. Except for that one kid.
Remember yes.
That one kid who scratched it out of the crayon and said, like, nobody's seen God. So, no, it's now they have. Little 3-year-old drew a crayon picture of God. Now you have. Because this book says to you that the truth is invisible. If you can see it with your body's eyes, it's not the truth. It's factual for the world, okay? Good enough. But it's not the truth. It's not how you see the truth. God is an idea. And you may accept that God is an idea. In other words, we all want truth to be. We all want to do the right thing. Be good people. Be loving. That's an idea. You could probably say, well, that would be God. God wants that. Good for you. I think you could do that. Are you ready to say that you're an idea the same way? What you really are? Like I said, this book can really stretch you. It can really stretch you.
Okay, so I've been struggling because I, like, for a very long time had a scientific worldview.
Uh-huh.
And I was in a relationship with someone who was very deeply spiritual. And so since then I've kind of woken up a little bit more to some of these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I'm grooving on that thing that you're saying about God being an idea, because you, like, overanalyze the crap out of things. You get down to just math and no substance, no real substance, just rules.
Yep. Isn't that the case?
So, I mean, that's just an idea, right?
It's just an idea. Do you do a lot of math? You good at math?
Yeah, sure.
And just like, yeah.
Yeah. Because math, if you are good at math, or I would do the same thing if somebody here was a musician, and we've done it before. Or an artist. Mm. Math has an uncommon precision for the world. It's an idea. It's an idea. The idea, this whole funky thing called a square root, for example, it's just an idea. But it's a solid idea. And there aren't variations.
And an irrational number.
Yes. And an irrational number. Pi! And yet, what does pi describe? What can you...
Circle.
The circle! How satisfying is that, my friend? And you may, to your heart's content, go to the precision, as many digits as you like, to smooth the curve of that circle, and you will be treated with ever more satisfaction the more you go.
What an idea.
Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful idea for the circle.
It's a coalition of ideas. That's what the universe is all founded on.
And simple, right? When you get to the bottom of it, even as big as those math equations can be, it's really describing something very simple. one is described. Fixing your car seems like a real hard... That battery in that tractor? The tractor won't start. It's a pretty new tractor. Why won't it start? Didn't I pay enough for this tractor? It seems complex. But when it's done, it's simple. Dead battery. Good night, Clarissa. All right, back to freedom.
So he found love.
Yes.
I found love?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He found it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In a circle.
Yes, he found love.
I struggle with it because it's all the rules that impose what can and can't happen, and then there's obviously things that happen that are seem to be outside of those rules, like what we're all studying here, miracles. So that's where I get obsessed with the know, having to know how those miracles happen.
Yeah. And with a scientific mind, you will not be satisfied until you can look at it and solve to zero.
Yeah.
That's fair, Chris. You know why? Because it's in your heart.
Yeah, it's like a part of me. It's like,
I challenge you to don't abandon that part of you. Stay true to it. Put this book to task with your scientific mind and say, I don't want just some fluffy promise that there's love and I can have it. I would like more information on that, please. Challenge the book to deliver to you the math to show the work on how this works.
Yeah, I just want a schema. I just take a class or something.
Yeah.
Here's how science comes with spirituality, and they can hold hands.
Yeah, baby.
It's hard to get something like that.
Yeah.
So
take a note. Franklin Merrill Wolfe and the Farther. God, do you remember that book? I let you borrow it. The title of that book.
Franklin Merrill Wolfe.
It's a hard read for most people, but you'll dig it because it's loaded with math. This is a mathematician who actually found his enlightenment through math. Once he felt the freedom and the love, thank you, Kenny, he loved his math so much, he thought, I love the clarity of math. All this other discussions and news and everybody's opinions, I don't have time for, because it's not satisfying as math. Math is satisfying. Honestly, if you can do the math and stuff, oh yeah.
I was really bad at math. They had to take me out of the play in high school because I failed math.
Well, you don't have to be a good mathematician, but if you can appreciate simplicity of math and how peaceful that is.
So I just solved the problem?
Yes. What is the square root of 9?
Describing the problem.
Describing it. Square root of 9? Anybody?
What's that?
Square root of 9.
Negative 3.
Square root of 9.
3.
Oh. 3 or negative 3?
3. Because square root means one thing times another thing.
I think about that and I think, like, what does it matter? Yeah.
3 times 3 is 9. Square root of 4 is 2. Oh, every time. Every single time. 2 times 2 is 4. That's it. Nothing else to know. There's nothing else to know about the square root of 4. You're done for life and forever.
And I think it's useful because it's how communication happens.
Square root of 4 is 2.
That's it! Zoe, you arrived!
I am going to impress my family.
You learned nothing else today. You learned that.
I had absolutely no interest in this square root. But when it's fun, because this, you made it fun just with the discussion.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden the little ideas are floating around. And I see, gee, maybe it is that simple.
It's something so simple.
But is it math? Is that like measuring the illusion?
Well, sir, if you can, it measures, it's an idea, though. Math is an idea. It doesn't measure what you decide it measures. That's it. Mm-hmm.
So if it works for you, it works.
Yeah, yes, because you let the Holy Spirit work with you on the math, we'll show you the love, which Kenny pointed out right away. You let the Holy Spirit look at math with you,
It'll be an equation for you down the line.
It will show you the simplicity of completion and the absolute nature of once and for all. Like the square root of 4. That's it. There's nothing else to know about the square root of 4 than 2. That's it, period. There's nothing else to know about square root than 2 times 2 is 4. You can derive the square root of everything else just from understanding what I'm talking about right now.
So you like the whole thing of it.
The same number. I'm sorry.
No. I'm thinking, so the thing that like gets you going is because it's clean, neat, and that's it.
Clean, neat, and that's it. Yes.
There's no fluff.
Please read the first sentence on page 432 for what we're talking about when I say square root. Clean, neat, and that's it.
Nothing can hurt you unless you give it the power to do so.
Clean, neat, and that's it. You get that sentence. You can derive the entire Course in Miracles. And you can have a good day. What? You can deduce it. You can understand it. You can have a great day.
Don't find it.
Forget Course in Miracles.
Dude, it's me.
You follow that sentence. You can have a great day. Who doesn't want a great day? Without the suffering. Right? You don't have to suffer. If you get that sentence, you are now informed on how to not suffer. Pain will come. You're going to get some flat tires. You're going to get sick. You're going to get all sorts of things in your life are going to happen.
But the suffering is optional.
Thank you. Sentence number one. Explains the
culture play with a smile.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's like that great, somebody had this great scenario where it's like they're on a plane and they get stuck on the tarmac for like 5 hours and the one person's freaking out going, oh my god, dang it, now we gotta sit here for freaking 5 hours, oh my god, and the other person's like, I just get 5 more hours with you. Suffering is optional. I love that.
It's just true.
Yeah.
It's true.
You get more time to read my book. I'm going to meet, who knows who you're going to meet?
Whatever. I'm serving drinks.
Okay, page.
That's more tequila for me, folks.
Page 432. Let's run through this paragraph with our time left. Okay, those who choose freedom will experience only freedom's results. Their power is of God. And they will give it only to what God has given to share with them. This is the power of mind. This is the power given to you. Nothing but this can touch them, for they see only this. Sharing their power according to the will of God, not the wish of God. And thus their freedom is established and maintained because you choose, and because sentence number one is true. It is upheld, their freedom is upheld through all temptation to imprison and to be imprisoned. That's the world. The temptation to both imprison was saying they did it to me, something outside me is causing me unhappiness. To imprison somebody else, to blame them, or to be imprisoned by somebody else or your own thoughts. You do this to yourself, and it can make a miserable life. But according to this paragraph and on this page in tonight's discussion, you are free to be free.
That's good, and this is great to answer.
It's the definition of miracles, right?
Yes. To be free.
That a miracle isn't walking on water or something so bizarro. It's just a change in perspective. Instead I'll go this route instead of that route.
Well, it would be a miracle if you were like worrying about something and then you said, "I'm going to be free."
Yes,
that would be a miracle.
Yep.
This. My peace is not for sale for this.
Wow.
This does not control me. That's a miracle. A shift in perception,
right.
Saying, I'm not going to drag down.
Yeah.
Freedom.
That's good.
Because you chose.
And actually, all miracles are freedom. Because it's in that moment that you experience freedom, when you have that shift in perception.
Over that problem.
Yeah, over that one. On to the next one.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. Until enough of them.
Yeah. And today you feel like $1 million, and by next Wednesday you're like, God, I wish it was Thursday, right, so I could go to a meeting again, because yeah, I can't think, I don't feel it anymore.
Yes.
Feeling dissipates. At first it's like, great, and then it's like, oh God, I need another meeting, and it's like...
Because of Carol's vigilance was not paid attention to. Carol says, I'm free when I start my morning saying, here's what I'm going to have a great day. And I'm actually going to use the power of my mind to have a great day. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then this gal says, she says, you know what? Just go to the workbook lesson as an anchor. And if I don't have a great day, I'm going to rip out a page of my book, put it in my pocket, just in case, as insurance. It works. It works. It catches your ego. Whatever the workbook lesson is for the day, that's the right one. And there's one for each day, 365. It's yes. And you just turn your life over to that freaking page.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
It's amazingly powerful.
And as you go through the lessons, then you have more reference to go back. You may be doing one lesson, but then something else goes, oh yeah. You know, it's just like all the stuff that you've already gone through,
yes,
starts to resonate.
Yeah.
Something comes back.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, there was that lesson about the past creates...
That you spent a whole day on 3 months ago. Whole lesson about the past, right? You just invested your mind on it. Well, you didn't quite understand it, but she did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's coming back like an echo.
We bumble our way through.
We apply the lessons. If you can apply the lessons and you've learned them,
so the bumbling works.
Yes.
Yeah, it just
okay,
somehow
I think bumble.
It. I mean, you keep the faith and just, you know, kind of go through it.
And they're obviously wise. The lessons are obviously wisdom. When you read them, you feel the words of wisdom before you. You know, I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. That's just wise. Another one, 3 Lord lessons later. Is my mind is preoccupied with
past
thoughts. It's like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I do that, you say. You spend a whole day recognizing how much you couch things from the past. You're not living now. If you're so busy with the past, you're not living the present. You're living the past. You're making up the... Oh, geez, stop that. Really, if you want to be happy, get present. The book helps you do just that. And the lessons come back. They start echoing in your mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we have 3 minutes left. Let's get to the end of the paragraph.
Breakneck speed.
Yeah, get this now. Sentence 5, it's upheld your choice through all temptation to imprison, to be in prison. Good. 6, it is of them who learned of freedom. Them who learned of freedom, that you should ask what freedom is. That's just good sense. That's just good logic. And that's when we went around the room and we asked, what is freedom? And you heard 10, 12 different... You heard of people who knew, who touched freedom. It's of them you should ask what freedom... Because you felt it as they, each person had a free moment as they explained freedom. Good, right? Now, ask not the sparrow how the eagle soars. Don't go, you know what it's saying now, is don't aim too low. For those with little wings have not accepted for themselves the power to share with you. Now, boy, I tell you, we need some of our Alcoholics Anonymous people in the room. Maybe we have someone willing to speak up. I'm not. I love this AA program. I have some relatives here in the program, and I'll sit through there, and tears come down my face because I think, oh my God, this is Course in Miracles. The sparrow, don't ask a sparrow how to fly like an eagle flies. One of the things that you hear in AA is you need to recognize you're hanging out with friends who are drinking. What that the power that can have on you.
Oh. Okay, got it.
And they got these pithy phrases. and clever ways to say things like that. And I wish that, you know, one of these clever phrases will come out. But it is so true and so simple.
If you don't take the first drink, you won't get drunk.
Yeah, right. it's the first drink that gets you, not the last one.
Well, it's like if you go ask a friend like what you should do about something,
yeah,
and you know that they're like, oh yeah, he's such an asshole. You know, and you go to those friends, you're going to get that information as opposed to going to someone from Course in Miracles.
Yes.
No, someone that has a different positive attitude. You want to stay uplifted, go to someone that's got a positive attitude. You know, if you continue to go back to where the garbage is, you keep eating garbage if you go to the new dumpster.
That's the point.
New dumpster. New dumpster.
I'm a new dining.
New dumpster.
New dumpster.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And I'll tell you, in A Course in Miracles is pretty rare and radical discussions and mind training. And it gets more difficult to find somebody who can speak at this level after you've been through the workbook. To satisfactorily choose a piece you know you can have, you kind of need another Course in Miracles, dude. That's true. But the good news is you go to a new level of peace that you will demand. And you can find Course in Miracles students. Here's a dozen right here. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's have a circle.
Or the book.
Or the book. Just go to the book.
People are more than a book.
Take a deep breath. Would you recognize the freedom you just chose there? You chose when and where and how. I might have given you an idea, but you know what? You chose, and you always do. There is no power outside your mind. There's none. You're always choosing the next thing you think is going to be more peaceful. And at that point it was, I'll take a breath with the group, why not? You are free. You may have thought you weren't free because some of this happened, or there's that, and there's this person, and there's that problem, and there's that. But as you go through it, and you will, you can go through it without fear. No thought has the power to harm you. Unless you give it that. It has nothing. It's just it's an idea. You give it the meaning, and then you will live with what you decided. That's the math. It's that simple. You know it's true. So choose peace, and then you'll have peace. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Wow.
So simple, you almost miss it.
And I did that really, even though I can say if you say number three, if you say
just by the way, Course in Miracles starts.